Counsel's attorney for the plaintiffs and appellants, Mr. Downs. Cowards and Devin Downs.
Counsel, before you very formally just ask you, have you read our Ho versus Recon Trust Company case? It is now October 19th.
No, I have not.
Is it key in this case?
But it's what you were to say.
Deals with the FDCPA. So we're going to be somewhat handicapped because this is except for one paragraph or one subpart pretty much controls things. We're both talking about the concepts and I'll go ahead and do the presentation.
Maybe the court could perhaps explain the truthfully of what that case said in this case. What do you think, Greg?
Well, you're familiar with the Fourth Circuit case, Wilson.
No, Your Honor.
Wasn't it?
Your Honor, this is the case.
Wasn't it referred to in the briefs?
I don't recall that specific case. The cases that I asked the court to focus on are Hulse versus Bowen, the Rockridge Trust case I cited in the brief, that say steps taken prior to a judicial or non-judicial closure can be violations of the FDCPA. And we're not seeking to challenge actions that were taken in connection with an actual foreclosure proceeding. It's all the things they did beforehand.
Just to hear that the whole case makes it clear that unless the party is collecting money, it's not collecting a debt under the FDCPA. So in that case, the court was dealing with the California anti-deficiency laws. And my understanding is that Nevada has in section 40.455 sub 3 has a similar provision that indicates that since this was a purchase money loan, there would be no possibility that any money could be collected. All your only remedy is to foreclose on the property. Is that correct?
That is correct. In fact, Your Honor, so there's a bankruptcy and a discharge. So they couldn't sue, for instance, on the note.
Okay, so if that's the case, then Ho is probably right on point because basically it says they're not collecting a debt thing. So if they're not collecting a debt, is there any other provision of the FDCPA that it might be violating?
Yes, Your Honor. And I cited cases that talk about even after bankruptcy, that if the threatener foreclosure and do certain things that would otherwise violate the FDCPA, that if they say, if you don't pay this money, you will lose your home by any stretch of the imagination, that is seeking to collect debt. Because they're saying, if you don't pay, these bad people will
die. That's not what Ho says. That's your problem. Ho says that's not the collection of a debt, because unless you can collect money, you're not collecting a debt. That's what Ho says.
I suppose, counsel, your main argument is that the conduct that NationStar's representatives engaged in with your client all occurred outside of the foreclosure proceedings. Is that your argument?
That is correct, Your Honor. And that conduct was egregious. The concepts are that there was a non-judicial foreclosure proceeding. Excuse me. They were denied the right to foreclose at a foreclosure mediation conference, because they didn't have a consensus on the note. That was in February of 2014. So there was a...
I assume we're talking about NationStar, not Wells Fargo.
We have a quite a confusion there, because at the foreclosure mediation conference, NationStar showed up, Wells Fargo showed up, and on pages, I think it's 26 or 28 of my opening brief, it's just a complete mess as to who was the holder of the note.
Engaged in these pressure tactics that you're referring to?
The pressure tactics were engaged in by NationStar. And let me just summarize them quickly. because if I was going to go through everything they did that was abusive, I wouldn't be here for 15 minutes. I'd be here for about 15 hours. After this February 2014 foreclosure mediation conference, where they were not given permission to foreclose, in March.
So your position there is that ended the foreclosure aspect?
Absolutely.
From then on, it was a debt collection, is that what you're saying?
Yes, absolutely. What did they do? On March, so that was in February of 2014. They are not permitted to foreclose at the foreclosure mediation conference. Then they write a letter a month later, basically saying, if you don't pay, we're going to foreclose. And that was a direct communication from NationStar to the clients who are represented by counsel.
I appreciate your enthusiasm, but let me just read to you from Paul. I'm sorry you don't know about this case because it's controlling. It says, actions taken to facilitate a non-judicial foreclosure, such as sending a notice of default and notice of sale, are not attempts to collect a debt as that term is defined by the FDCPA. So, in this case, admittedly, the mediation failed. They would have had to initiate a new collection, a new notice of default collection to sell in order to foreclose. They couldn't get any money, therefore it wasn't a debt. So what do you rely upon in the FDCPA to say that this is a violation? It's kind of a hybrid because the other one is terminated. It's somewhat equivalent to if no foreclosure had ever been started in the first place and they sent a letter before they filed the notice of default collection to sell. And if you say that, then you're saying that no lender can communicate with a borrower to try to get them to pay before they initiate any foreclosure.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Okay, what are you saying?
What I'm, first of all, let's go through the various violations. While counsel's arguing, I'll look at the whole case to give the distinction. I think one of the cases I cite, there was a violation of the FDCPA after a bankruptcy was filed, so you couldn't collect on the note.
Right.
So, on March 25th, after they can foreclose, they make a demand on the client to pay. Then, on April 2, I write a letter saying, don't contact my clients. Because under the FDCPA, you can't contact a client represented by counsel. Well, they don't care. After I tell them in writing, don't contact my clients, in May to June, there are three separate telephone calls to my clients. Three of them. In 2 months after I've written them, telling them not to do it, then.
And your belief is that violates the FDCPA?
Yes, yes.
And what do you cite in the FDCPA that would say that what you have just described is
violated? 1692AC says after a debt collector is told that they can't contact a client, that they should contact the lawyer directly, they are obligated under 1692CA not to contact the client.
Is NationStar after all a debt collector?
Yes, they were. Well, again, I will address that on my rebuttal. But we'll less support the fact that there are debt collectors.
Okay.
Of course, they're arguing. What they, so after they have three calls to my client, after they know the clients are upset, I write them again, don't do it. Then, in May or June, they post notices on the door. They literally go to the house on three separate occasions and post notices on the door. I write them again, so don't do it.
But does the law prohibit their posting a notice on the door?
It's a direct communication.
No, I understand that, but I'm just saying, is that how foreclosures are commenced?
No. That has nothing to do with the foreclosure. Notice of default is reported, started with a recording with the county recorder's office. These notices say, important, please call us in the
mail. Oh, I see.
Then in 2018, they sent a modification or a loan statement to my clients. Again, directly communicating to my clients. I'm writing again, don't do it, don't do it. I keep on saying in my letters, you keep on threatening to foreclose. But you're not allowed to foreclose unless you have the original loan document. Because that is what you were precluded from foreclosing if you didn't have the original note. again and again, you have the original note. Otherwise, all your aggressive foreclosures are a violation of pursuing your debt collector, which I'll deal with on the court. 1692A says you can't communicate with someone who's represented by counsel forever. They violated that. 92D says you can't harass or oppress. 92E, you can't make any false statements. 92F, you can't take actions that you have no intent to pursue. And again, in each of these communications, they say they will foreclose if you don't pay, but they don't have the ability to foreclose. That is a violation of all four of those statutes. They're harassing my clients again and again and again after they were told that my clients were represented by counsel. And I document this in the record. There are eight separate communications from February of 2014 through September of 2014. Eight times they contact my clients. Three times verbally, three times by posting notices on the door, several times by writing to them directly. And the worst of the situations was on August 26th. They write to my client. And they directly to my client. This is after letter after letter after letter saying, don't contact my client.
I think we're familiar with all of the activities they engage in. We still need to hear from you as to whether they're addicted to
it. I will do that.
And you're down to 3.5 minutes. You may reserve.
I'm reserving 5 minutes. Okay, I'll reserve.
Okay, sorry, you're down to 3.5.
Yeah, I'll reserve for that.
Very well, you may just go hear from the bank on the court.
Good morning, Your Honors.
Counsel, would you identify yourself for the record, please?
Yes, Ariel Stern, appearing for HSR Mortgage and for Wells Fargo.
Are you writing it correctly? I'm sorry, I was going to say, do I have it correctly that Wells Fargo was not part of these activities in terms of the calls, the allegedly harassing calls and that sort of thing?
That is correct, Your Honor. The servicer here is HSR, and so as servicer, they would take all of those activities in connection with the foreclosure. And Wells Fargo is the record beneficiary of the deed of trust, essentially the investor on the loan. So all of the actual activity would have been HSR. And I think, as framed in the argument for the appellant, the one key question, if not the key question, is whether these were debt collecting activities. I think the district court got it right and correctly anticipated the law in this circuit.
Have you read the
whole? I am remiss that we did not do supplemental authority.
Well, we wish you had, because you probably would have been able to notify opposing counsel that it's a relevant case.
Yes, Your Honor. And I apologize for that. I reviewed it recently. And I believe it is, as Judge Smith said, dispositive of most, if not all, of the issues in the case. I think, as you framed the argument with the appellant's counsel, the only question here is whether these were debt collecting activities. And the district court had a very voluminous record. The complaint here was very detailed, and it included a lot of exhibits, which are now in the record before you. So the district court had an ample ground on which to review these communications and determine that they were all related to foreclosure, not the attempt to collect money.
Well, now, is that a question of fact or a question of law?
I think, Your Honor, it is a question of law on which a 12b-6 determination was proper, because all of those exhibits were part of the complaint. The court did not have to go outside of that plea. So,
but if we read the pleading to conclude that these activities, or at least some of these activities, occurred outside of the foreclosure process and therefore would be amenable to the Debt Collection Act, what then?
I think, Your Honor, the statement or any such statement in the complaint would be a legal judgment on the part of the plaintiff in drafting the plea, and that would not be entitled to the presumptions of truth and all of the inferences that come from that. And in addition to that, I believe what the district court expressly did was under Twombly and Iqbal determine that these were not plausible claims, or that was not a plausible claim for a FDCPA violation because the complaint as described, or I should say the communications as described in the complaint, which did include all of the complaint of communications related to the foreclosure activity.
Counsel, Judge Gould, if I can interject a question. Why couldn't it be plausibly considered that the complaint is complaining that NationStar was using the threat of foreclosure in order to collect the debt?
I think that's a...
Putting aside whether the whole case is dispositive, which we'll hear more on. But apart from that,
I think that is a fact that wouldn't be plausible, Judge Gould, for two reasons. First, and I think the appellant explained this, at that point there had been a bankruptcy discharge. So there was, at that point, no debt to collect of the letters that are complained of and that were included as part of the record. Before the district court expressly said that if there was a bankruptcy discharge, that the letters were not an attempt to collect the debt, but merely provided for informational purposes. That was within the record of the pleading. Secondly,
but there was no discharge.
Your Honor, I think there was some...
In other words, the debt was never discharged, was it?
I believe, Your Honor, that it was discharged on the 17th of January of 2014. And that's in the record before you. And the unfortunately, the actual order of discharge is not before you, but the document of the bankruptcy court is.
At some point, it was before the discharge, which is really not in this case. At some point, there was a debt. There was a note owing. Was
right. Correct. The mediation that occurred on this case occurred on forget the exact date, February of 2014, and that is, it was after that mediation that the appellant's claim that NationStar no longer had the right to foreclose, and that's really the predicate for a lot of the claims that derive from that.
That ended the foreclosure proceedings, did it not? I think that's the nub of this case. That's his claim is that the foreclosure was over at that point, yet the NationStar continued to allegedly harass his client and ask for a debt.
Yes, that's, I think he put it a little differently. I think he said that at that point it was determined that NationStar did not have the right to foreclose, which is not accurate because the mediation simply determined, the mediator simply determined that there was a noncompliance with the document production requirements, which is not the same as saying that there's no right to foreclose or that there's any kind of preclusive finding that documents are missing, that NationStar doesn't have the original documents. The original documents aren't even necessary, even under the Nevada mediation statute. So I think the right to foreclose was not determined one way or the other in the mediation, other than for purposes of that mediation itself. There was nothing precluding NationStar from recording a new notice of default and starting over.
But it never did start over, did it?
It did not start over, but I think this answers, this is the second part of my answer to Judge Gould's question as well. The communication that came after that mediation was related primarily, and we would argue exclusively, and the district court found, I think, this, to foreclosure. The explanation that the consequence of not paying the debt will result in a foreclosure is merely a provision of information. It's not an attempt to get money. Now, obviously,
what it boils down to is if you don't pay now, we'll foreclose. Isn't that what the
essentially what this is all about.
That's essentially what it says, Your Honor. I do agree with that, but I don't think, and this goes again to what Judge Gould was asking, I don't think that makes it a plausible recollection attempt. Coming back to the chronology of this, the bankruptcy discharge occurred in January, so it occurred even before that February mediation. So at that mediation, there was no, that that had been discharged. Really, we were there, or I was there, they were there to enforce the deed of trust. In addition to that, the letter does not have any of the typical indicia. It says of an attempt to collect a debt that wasn't its primary purpose. It basically says we're going to foreclose. This is how much you, this is how much is owed on this lien. This is where you need to pay it, and these are some of the options that you have to avoid foreclosure, and it sets forth some loss mitigation and home retention information. That is all there in connection with the foreclosure. If it's not for the foreclosure, if it's not for the end result at the end of this process, which is a non-judicial sale, that letter wouldn't have come out.
Let me ask you this, counsel. Well, the foreclosure for a minute. There is another provision in the FDCPA that may cover this, even if Ho bars the other portion of it, and that is 15 U.S.C. Section 1692 F6B. That provides that the FDCPA applies in part to an entity whose principal business purpose is, in quotes, the enforcement of security interests. Now, that would clearly cover NationStar, would it not?
I think you're on.
Is that what NationStar does? Foreclose?
NationStar is a servicer, Your Honor, so one of the things it does is foreclose, but it's not the lead principle.
So that would be a good question of fact. But if it is, and that's one of its purposes, and arguably the FDCPA would to some degree apply in that situation. I don't know whether all of these are alleged would apply, but perhaps that's something we could comment on. If you're familiar with this subsection, you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, Your Honor, and I think I have two responses to that. First of all, I do believe that in the complaint, including all of the exhibits, it's apparent that NationStar is the servicer, and that servicer performs services on behalf of Wells Fargo, the investor, that go beyond simply collecting the debt. It forecloses it. The deed of trust is in the record, and under the deed of trust, there's many things that the lender, as it's defined in the deed, and the deed of trust does, including preservation of the property, assuring good attorneys on the property, all sorts of things at all.
But
not the servicer, so it's not the principle.
Okay, well, let's just say for our purposes that it's in the business of enforcement of security interest. Would the allegations of the plaintiffs here about contacting clients without going through the lawyer and so on be a violation of the FDCPA?
I don't think so, Your Honor, because even then, if you assume that NationStar falls into the definition of a debt collector, the practice, the activity that is alleged still has to be debt collecting activity.
Well, I'm not sure that's right. I guess that's the question of what does the statute mean in connection with the activities of people whose business is enforcement of security. Clearly, with respect to debt collectors, you're right. But the question is, how much does the act apply to people who have this other more limited function?
I understand that, Judge, and I understand the distinction. I think the response is twofold. First, in the manner that the complaint was framed, as I understand it at least, and I don't think there's been anything said today that would contradict this, this is alleged as a debt collection violation, not as a violation of, or let me rephrase it. I don't think there's been alleged that Nation Star was a debt collector or was engaging in regulated activity because of its portion of the security.
So what you're saying is because the complaint alleged a debt collection violation, since you all may bar that, you'd have to send it back to the district court and amend the complaint to allege this other, or are you saying they're just done because they have alleged that?
I'm saying the second part, Your Honor, they're done because there was a waiver of that. They could have alleged that. I don't think there's anything that precluded that. And that's simply not the way the complaint was addressed. It wasn't how it was framed. And the plaintiff, as the master of his complaint, and there, this spot was spelled out in the briefing, but that would be a waiver issue.
So, in other words, the statute always contained his, they didn't allege it, their problem.
That would be our position, Your Honor. We think that's a preferable outcome. And amending to send, remanding for the district court to consider a claim that was not made. So, I think.
What about remanding on the point of interest, Judge Smith, there, for the district court to consider whether amendment is proper?
I think, Judge Gould, that the district court, even though its order did not address amendment, implicitly found that amendment was not proper, and I think it found that correctly because its motion, in their opposition to our motion to dismiss, there was a conclusory paragraph at the very end that suggested amendment, but the grounds that were given for amendment was additional facts consistent with what the plaintiffs have colorfully described as the lying and harassment campaign. In other words, there wouldn't be any type of factual allegation made that would bring the alleged activity outside of debt collection, outside of foreclosure and into debt collection. So,
is the complaint that was tossed out, is that the first complaint?
Yes, sir. So, we understand that there was a request to amend, and we believe the district court correctly denied that because it didn't take us in its order, and what it would be able to amend. And the reason for that is because the plaintiff didn't say what they would say other than more of the same types of facts that led the complaint to be dismissed in the first place.
Anything else? Your time has expired.
Yes, sir.
Yes, you have some reserve time.
In my reply brief, at pages 6 through 8, I have a very long quote from the Abraham case. And on page 8, for instance, I'll just read this quickly, says, the Third Circuit agrees with the broad definition of debt collector. In some cases, the CAC alleged that plaintiff Abraham fell behind on a mortgage, filed a bankruptcy petition, entered into a loan modification, and there were various things that were going wrong. So even if there's a bankruptcy where the debt's been discharged, if you basically are saying if you don't pay it, who will then enforce a security interest?
Can you read the loan?
The debt
over here.
I don't.
Okay. Ho is our case. Abraham is the Third Circuit. Wonderful circuit. They have control. We have a controlling case now. So unfortunately, Ho is what we're dealing with. Do you have any comment on the question I raised with opposing counsel about whether a cause of action under 1692F6A remains even if O knocks out your debt collection claim based on the idea that Nation Star is involved in the enforcement of security interests? Do you have any comment on that?
I would believe it would, Your Honor, and not just that. Of course, that's for additional such promotional distress. Whether or not they are subject to the FDCPA.
And so, with all respect, I know you feel strongly about this, but you're suggesting that the things that you indicated were extreme and outrageous under Oliver versus Lowe in Nevada law. That's a stretch.
I don't think so. I think you have a Goliath institution that over 6 months lied repeatedly. They said August 26th they had possession of the note. We can take your home away. They couldn't. These people moved out of state because they were subject to a 6-month campaign
where they were repeatedly contacted. You think they have a lawyer protected? Do that. We'll just ignore the statute and we'll contact you directly. We will lie about our ability to foreclose. They know they couldn't foreclose. They didn't have that note. They needed the note to foreclose, and they lied. They said they had it. And I've asked them again and again and again to confirm that statement, and they just stonewalled. And this is not a case someone was killed, but in a financial case, they were driven from their home, they were driven from the state. And Wells Fargo is liable for the actions of its servicer. I cite a case of Countrywide for Career in my briefs that a servicer, the sins of the servicer are visited upon the principal. So we have a case where I fought a lying harassment campaign. That's not hyperbole. That's an understatement. They spent 6 months lying, ignoring the fact that they had counsel, and threatening to do things which they knew they couldn't do.
Thank you, counsel. Your time has expired. The case just argued will be submitted for decision.